You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I did not have 30 minutes more of that in me. So thankfully, Daiza Maeda grabbed his hat-trick and Kyogo made it sweet at 4-2. But that was a tough old watch, James. Great for the neutral, as Lenny says, cup tie football, but not great in loads of ways. Don't want to make it a negative. Celtic win, all about getting through. But keen to hear your thoughts. This is Tino and James with the Final Whistle Show. What you got, James?
The beautiful game, eh? The magic of the cup. I don't agree with Lenny. I don't think that's a pleasant watch even for neutrals. I thought the quality was so poor across the board. My overarching feeling, pretty much from the start, was that Celtic players seemed distracted. And for once, I kind of don't mind. I like that their focus is fully on the league. But you can't expect to win a game comfortably if you're not focused on the game at hand. And that's what the game was today. That today was the only game to care about. But they seemed distracted, like I say, and that affected every single player. That game summed up our season in a nutshell. You've got missing players, suspended players, off-form players, guys coming back on form, looking at Dyson and Kuhn. Kuhn, probably man of the match ahead of Dyson, goes off with a hamstring injury. There's your season writ large. They're just all frustrating, but we're in the hat, and that's all that counts, cup football, so here we go.
Yeah, all of the above is correct. I'm just scribbling.
Would you just wrap it there?
Yeah.
Would you just wrap it there?
Yeah, just call it, stick on some tunes for 20 minutes and leave it be. I mean, in terms of like guys at Celtic are missing, and we'll get to the influence of guys like McGregor and Callum Vickers in a wee bit, but you're missing Callum McGregor. Rumours doing the rounds, James, that he's out for the season. I don't know how much to buy into that or not. You're hearing a lot of these kind of things, don't you? But I don't know if there's anything in it at all or just scaremongering or whatever. We'll find out soon enough. But a good few accounts have been tweeting it now. So let's see. Carl Vickers misses out. Yang, you're all of a sudden you're on form and potentially liveliest winger out through suspension. And Rio Hoitati, as we know, long-term missing. Hopefully not far away. We'll see where we get to with Rio after the international break. But there's four guys who breeze into Celtic starting a little bit at this moment in time. There's not even a debate whether those guys would be involved. If they're fit, they absolutely play. You take those four figures out, and I don't want to go deeper into it and look at, and this isn't excuses, by the way, for a poor performance and excuses for Brendan Rodgers. That's not what I'm doing here. I'm just presenting some info. But you add those four players missing to guys that we haven't replaced, and we know all about, you know, Jota and Starfelt and Aaron Moy and things like that. And you're going to be weaker for it. You know, the Celtic Live late times started fairly well, but couldn't put the game to bed. And actually, that's been one of the things that's hampered us all season. You go a goal to the good, can you go and get three and four and cruise out the next round? And we couldn't find that killer touch. You add that to some really poor stuff at the back with Scales and Welsh. and you're going to get a game like you got today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really, I agree with you in terms of the recruitment team hasn't replaced the quality that we lost in the summer and beyond, if you go as far back as Giakoumakis. But the players on the pitch were more than good enough to win that game. I think the issue, if you're looking just at today's game, was you guys who've got the ability off form and guys who don't have the ability playing first-team football for Celtic. It's harsh, but we're looking at Welsh and Scales. Even short-term, they're not good enough for Celtic first-team. I think they're good backup guys. But then you've got, let's just look at two, Matt O'Reilly and Bernardo, woeful, the pair of them. Iwata coming out of a game, awful. So when you align those two factors, guys who aren't good enough with guys who aren't good enough not playing well enough, then you're carrying from the word go. And that's what it was today. You know, going forward, they know the system and they know how to work this system. Kuhn was the bright spark within it all to unlock the system. But then sloppiness, Iwata in particular, sloppy on the ball in the first half, tightened up in the second half, but wasn't brave enough throughout the game. All of those things contributed to just a honking game of football.
Yeah, they sure did. There's an interesting point here from RL77, good friend of the show. You'll see it in screen, James. Livingston averaging less than 0.7 goals per game at the moment, but they scored twice against us. I'll take it as read that that's correct as a stat. And that kind of sums up what's going on because, you know, based on their possession in dangerous areas and dangerous attacks and all those kind of things, the match stats bear out that they shouldn't, you know, be doing much, you know, against us. They'd maybe grab one goal. But you'll see, I'll read out some stats here. Basically, when they attack, we were terrified at times when they get set pieces. We'll get to the fact that it was 2-2 and very nearly 3-2. But a really important Joe Hart save. You're holding on against a team that are absolutely going to get relegated. It's not like they're in a relegation dogfight. They're down and they will go down, and rightly so. Some of the stats, ball possession, 75% to Celtic. Goal attempts, do you have a guess?
Celtic, 18.
27 versus 4. Shots on goal, 10 for Celtic, 3 for Livy. Shots off goal, 13-1. Corner kicks, 70 us, 40 them, blah, blah, blah. Various other things. Dangerous attacks, 159 for Celtic, 43 for them. We've dominated possession, which is all well and good, but it's what you do with that possession. You need to kill teams off, and we got away with it today. There's no hassle, James, no stress, but we should have put it to bed far, far earlier.
Yeah, multiple culprits in that regard. But chief of them all is hat-trick hero, Dyson Meira. She did 6 today, at least. Sitters all over the place. Even that one towards the end, he's right at the crossbar. Just stick it away. Another one, he could have taken a touch and gone one-on-one with the goalie with, you know, 8 yards to play with. Some absolute shocking profligacy from Celtic. And this is where football has to be a game that's balanced between stats and what your eyes are telling you. Because the stats will bear out that Celtic won by 2 clear goals and they'd all the other stats about X, this, next, that. But they were very wasteful. So you've got to judge what your eyes can see as well, is that despite the stats, we should have scored an awful lot more goals.
Yeah, do you know, see if you'd ever watched the game the day, if you were, I don't know, out at Silverburn or Brayhead or the Fort, other shopping centres are available, and you just checked your phone, you just had a glance down and looked at the score and the stats, you'd go, that looks pretty comfy. I'll catch those highlights later on and we're cooking my gas. And it was nothing like that. Do you know, how much do you think Brendan Rodgers will be concerned? You could see at the sideline at times he didn't look best pleased. What do you think his thoughts will be? We're recording right now immediately on the final whistle, so we've not heard these comments, but what do you think his trainer thought will be? Do you think he'll go down the cup football, we dominated, all of it going through, or do you think he'll be concerned?
Well, it's two conversations. The one we have with the media and the one we have with the players. The media one will be your latter there. It's cup football, blah, blah, blah. And the conversation with the players isn't really about not playing to instruction, because they played the system. They just weren't hungry enough. They weren't brave enough. Didn't show enough desire. Didn't show enough concentration. And these are all things that any football team, that's your given. So even your Livy, you can say budget. Their budget against their budget, but all the things like, you know, are you concentrating? Are you fighting for the ball? Are you organised? These are freebies that all teams should be ready for. And us, as you know, the predominant team in Scotland over the last 20 years, we absolutely were not ticking those boxes today.
No, we were not. Let's take it back a wee bit. We'll look at the starting lineup. Myself and Paddy recorded the pre-match and more or less got the calls correct. I think we thought it was going to be Kuhn and Maeda as the wingers, mostly due to lack of choice. You know, what's the alternatives? You know, James Forrest, maybe Rocco Vatta. At the back, I think we've suggested or had suggested that Navroki might be in, that they might well take the chance to rest Cameron Carter-Vickers. But it's Stephen Welsh that comes in, and I do like Stephen Welsh at times, but he's a guy at the moment, like some of his teammates, who's out the side, and he'll only get rare opportunities. And today was a rare opportunity, and you can't say he took it. You know, it was there for him to go and really lead and command through that game. And him and Scales, they were a big part of the problem, let's be frank.
Huge part of the problem. And if you're centre-half at Celtic, you're always going to be a key player because you're seeing so much of the ball. They didn't fall into horseshoe stuff today, which was good. You know, they did keep driving. But there's things like both of them were able to go past their first man quite easily and then find themselves with, you know, quite a bit of space to go into. And there was one in particular in the second half where Welsh, who I like as well, you know, he's a Celtic fan, which shouldn't count, but it does a wee bit. And he always seems to try hard. But I just think we're talking about quality here at the end of the day. He's gone through, he's kind of made his way to the edge of the Libby 18-yard box, and he doesn't know what to do. Mm. And the midfielder just manages to get back and nick the ball off him. And then you're thinking, you are way out of position. And you're, you know, looking at what Libby are going to just launch it up, see if they can hold it up, you know, get a break and have a shot on goal or create an attack of some sorts. And it's that kind of thing that just shows you the quality's not there. You know, that at the end of the day, both Scales and Welsh, honest pros, they'll do their best. They're not really the problem here. It's a bigger issue that harks back to transfer window stuff, but they've got the jersey. They've got to be more switched on than that, and they've got to give us more than that. I think they're giving us maybe as much as they can, but concentration, basic concentration. I said to yourself and Bride on the chat, kind of towards the end of the game, one of the worst or the biggest faults with Welsh and Scales is when they are coming out and they're looking to find a man, when that ball finally gets delivered and they're looking to find someone, the guy receiving the ball has so much work to do because it's half a yard off him. It's not where he was running to, it's where he was. All those basic things, you know, give the ball to where the guy's going, not where he is right now. Scales in particular, really, really culpable for that kind of thing. And those are the things that better teams punish you for.
I think that's a big part of the problem because you start to build a new attack. You've got a bit of momentum. You maybe exchange a couple of passes. And then it's when Scales and Welsh decide to make that, not that killer pass, but let's properly launch the attack. Let's get it into one of our wingers' feet, whatever. It's just behind them. So the momentum breaks down almost immediately. So instead of Nicholas Kuhn bombing to get to the byline and being in a real driving situation, he has to check back and you need to restart. And at that point, Livy have retreated, and they've got 10 men behind the ball. That's what leads to this horseshoe football, because you then create a situation for yourself where there's no way through and you need to try and be patient and rebuild the attack again. And that's the job for Liam Scales and Stephen Welsh or any Celtic centre-half. It's not just about winning your tackles, winning your headers and clearing your lines. Far from it. You get loads of the ball at Celtic when you play in that position and you need to be better. And that's the bottom line. If Liam Scales, who deserves great credit for this season so far, but if he wants to see a future at Celtic beyond next season, then there's work to be done, serious work to be done. And Stephen Welsh, who you'd also argue is potentially playing for his Celtic future, he needs to step up, because there's a couple of guys in the shape of Navroki and Carter Vickers who would seem set to slot in when they're both fit and available. Less said about any other options, Lager, Bielka and otherwise. I've scribbled down the team in front of me here, James, right? And what we're in here, 12 minutes in, right? I don't want to make this a monothon because Celtic have won and we're in the semi-finals, which is great. But just looking at the reality of it all, of the 11 guys in the park, I think there's five that get pass marks, and one of them is your goalie. And your goalie against Livingston should barely be touching the ball, but he's played his part, absolutely. And then it's your two wide guys at the back, Johnson and Taylor, who I think have done their job for the most part. And it's your two wide guys up top, Kuhn and Maeda. And you could suggest that Maeda actually didn't have a great game out with his hat-trick, bizarre as that sounds. But that's Maeda world, and we're all just living in it and all that stuff. But that's five guys out of 11. So less than 50% of your team are performing. Scales and Welsh have been poor. Your midfield three have been poor, so not one of them has pulled us through. Iwata, O'Reilly, Bernardo struggled. Adam Ida, a guy I like, a guy who's had an impact since his arrival, also struggled.
Terrible game.
What do you put that down to? Is it because we're in the cup, there's less pressure with this kind of really tense league situation going on? They've come into the cup. Have they become complacent today? Have they just thought, love, you're struggling, we'll roll over the top of them here, and all of a sudden they get a fright, and all of a sudden Celtic were in a game?
No, it's guesswork, right? But I think it is what I suggested early on, that they are focused on the league, and they're so focused on the league that this is actually, you know, an unwelcome game, taking us out of the stride of particularly losing last weekend and wanting to get back in the swing of it. So this is a distraction for them from the real focus, which is the league. And that's fine. And it's okay for us as fans to have those feelings. But as players, you can't. You absolutely can't, because unless you're saying the cup's not important, but, you know, Scottish Cup and Celtic, we obviously want to progress in that. My take on it is they just didn't have the focus on it because they're distracted by the league, which, as I say, in its own way is a positive, but leads to performances like today.
Yeah, I'd say so. Let's try and get to more positive stuff. Let's talk about the first goal. And it's Nicholas Kuhn that plays a huge part. He had a really bright start, James. Now, we've all been frustrated by him. He was the big signing of the January window. There was a bit of hype around him, you know, where he'd been, the potential he had, and was he going to finally realise that potential at Celtic Park? On evidence before today, you'd say no, because he's really struggled. But he came in today, maybe he needed taking out the firing line for a while. And I think he was man of the match. Over the piece, he would be getting an award for me. And I thought he was bright from the early exchanges, and he's played a huge part in that first goal.
Yeah, it wasn't his first piece of play, probing into the Libby box. I thought he was on it from the get-go, and it's great to see. It was surprising to see, I must be honest, you know, having seen what we have seen of Kuhn in the last, you know, 3-4 weeks, about a month or so. It's not been impressive, and we thought he was going to be a first-team player, not a development player. He's looked very much the development player the last few weeks. But then he just seemed to be playing with a bit of a freshness and a freedom today. He was going at guys. He was clever enough to show them that he wanted to get in the left, but he can also go in the right. So he's got the defender turned the knots. He got his defender booked relatively early in the second half. I thought Celtic didn't exploit that enough. You know, get it back to Kuhn and then let go of the guy. And then, you know, he's got the ball a fair distance out. But he's got a wee bit of vision as well, which is great to see. He's spotted that Dyson's going to make that run. He's got the pace for that. Nothing but a shocker there in terms of trying to play the line with a fast player like Maeda. That's really risky, and sure enough, the risk cost him, and that's his one-up.
Yeah, I think Dyson Maeda often makes that run. It's similar to Kyogo, actually. Kyogo and Maeda often make runs that aren't picked up on by Celtic's midfielders or Celtic's creative players. And I think you've got to credit Kuhn for generally how he approached the game. You know, he's seen an opportunity to go and have an impact and show that he belongs here. And he's seen that moment, you know, when he's clipped it. And it's early in the game, it's 7 minutes in, and he's found Maeda all alone, basically, in the box, you know, due to the nature of the run. And he's still got a bit of work to do. There's never any guarantee that Dyson Maeda's first touch controls the ball, so there's always that. But he's taken it well. And listen, we'll take the piss a wee bit sometimes because of what you see from Maeda, but he's done well there in a tight spot. Goalie's closing in on him, taking the touch, and he's tucked away. That's his 100th appearance for Celtic. So he's clocked up the appearances. His goals and assists will be fairly respectable in that time. But as I mentioned earlier on, if you just look at Dyson Maeda's footballing record at Celtic on a spreadsheet or on a document or whatever, it's a very different picture from what the eye test will tell you. Sometimes in a good way, sometimes not so much. But he gets his goal, and at that point, early goal, you're thinking, great, this is exactly what we need. It should free us up to go and do our thing. And 5 minutes later, it's 1-1, and it's a goal I'm finding hard to explain, so I'll let you do it.
First of all, it's a shocking clearance from Liam Scales, which is his third in 8 days. So that in itself needs to be sorted as soon as possible. He's just cleared it to nowhere. It's the kind of clearance you would get from Livy to us. We are just selling it back to the opposition. unforgivable as a Celtic player to be hitting balls like that. So then Libby are set up and they're coming down the left-hand side. Looks like, I think Johnson's poor in terms of the line. He's deepest. But, you know, you've said all season inconsistent lineups lead to inconsistent performances. I said in the chat, inconsistent back fours lead to inconsistent discipline on your offside line. And that's what it was. They weren't tight. They weren't together. So you've got Taylor, Scales, Welsh and Johnson. They've played together this season a handful of times, but it's been rotated for injuries and other reasons all through the season. If that is Johnson, Carter, Vickers, Starfelt and Taylor, that line is tight, and it wasn't. So they're ragged, and that lets the delivery striker in. Welsh seems to realise too late that it's on him. He's the closest to him. I think Welsh can be pacey, a bit like Carter Vickers. He's not that quick initially, but he can get moving. Once he gets moving, he's got a bit of pace. But this is short sprint stuff, and he was nowhere near it, man. It looked like he was towing a caravan. And the boy, give him his due. He's looked for his options. He's went, nah, I'm just going to slot this home. And he's lashed it into the back of the net. It's a great goal from their point of view. It's just very, very poor from ours.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I think he couldn't believe how much time he had. I think he was expecting Stephen Welsh or somebody to come back and clatter into him, slide tackle, block his route to goal. And he realised they had ample time just to steady himself. And it's a great finish. People have said that Hart maybe could have come out and closed the angle. Maybe.
But for me, it's
almost all on Stephen Welsh. It's clear that there's no great communication with Alistair Johnson. There's a big, big gap between the two of them. But it's almost like, as you say, too little, too late, Welsh realises, that's my guy. And before you know it, it's one each. There's also the fact that it takes a sting out of the crowd because you're thinking, listen, things are a bit tense at Celtic just now. We all know that. It's been that kind of season. And you're just hoping that you go and have a good, enjoyable day and a comfortable win and a fine performance. And all of a sudden, folks have been rolling their eyes at that. That's 12 minutes in and there must have been a bit of, here we go again. You know, that must have been the feeling around the place. And I don't know, you know, it's in Celtic's gift there at 1-0 to just be steady, get the second and then really put it to bed. And we've not been able to do that. We have got a second goal and it's Maeda again. There's all sorts going on here. It's like a goal you see at the fives. There's shots and blocks and it breaks to another guy and a slack touch. And all of a sudden, I think Matt O'Reilly gets it onto his right foot. Strike on goal, I think an initial decent save by Michael McGovern. And then Maeda throws his head at it. His full head of hair, no less, no longer the bald head. And the header might be going out of play. I'm not entirely sure. It's hard to tell exactly where it's going. But McGovern's deflected. And listen, credit to Maeda for being in the right place at the right time and snapping onto it. But it's 2-1. And at that point, James, you can then reset and go, right, sorry about the blip, guys. We'll go and win 4-5-1. But again, not to be.
No, I mean, Brido was saying at half-time he was particularly scathing of Tomoki. And he was very, very poor. But I said Bernardo as well. And I was going to say O'Reilly too, which is, you know, your full midfield three. Because I thought the three of them were anonymous. And then O'Reilly pops up and just, I don't know what he's playing at. That's the second time in the space of a week that we've lost a ball from zero pressure. If you look at Tomoki last week against Hearts, that's cost us a goal. O'Reilly's just sleeping. He's managed to get himself back, but then done nothing with it. You know, he's got back, he's pressured the guy. The guy's just stepped inside him and stuck in the back of the net. So what's the point in making all that effort if you're not actually going to go to the ball, take the ball off him? You're the better player. Really, really poor. O'Reilly looked like he was coming back on form, second half of Motherwell, Dundee, all that stuff. Coming back on form is only coming back on form if you're going to be consistent with it. And I can't think of really anyone who has got back on form and maintained that form at Celtic this season. it's just been stop, stop, start. And that's really, for me, all over today.
Joe Hart's the man on form, which is worrying.
There's a pal of ours, Brian Maguire, keeps giving Joe Hart man of the match. I said, I just can't do it.
Yeah, he's done his job. He had a kind of poor moment with a pass-back situation in the first half with Scales, ball bouncing about and stuff. But that aside, goalkeepers need to come to life in key moments, and at two each, you know, the moment you've just explained there, just after that, he has a big, big moment from a set piece. But yeah, just to cover off O'Reilly, he gets great credit from us and everybody else, actually, because he's such a talented guy and he puts in such a shift, and he's been so good for Celtic over the piece. There's no doubt, though, he's dipped a wee bit there post-January, potentially post-Atletico Madrid rumours or whatever you know, might be the reason for it. But yeah, he's had a slack moment there in the midfield. But as you say, he's done all the work to get back, but he's got back and then just signposted. And it's a good finish from the guy. What's his name? Yenge. Decent finish by him. Great stuff. But he shouldn't have been allowed anywhere near it. He's basically been allowed to do a full 180 and then some, turn his body around. The side of the net's opened up for him. And it's almost like he uses O'Reilly as a screen just to kind of steer it into that part of the net. And I know Matt O'Reilly's not a defender. He's, you know, that's not his strong point, but he knows football. He knows there's a job to be done there. And it was just such a cheap goal to lose from a player that you generally think you can trust. So that's, you know, a huge disappointment. You've got, this isn't any sort of bitterness or sour grapes, but you've got Rob McLean and Stephen Craigan in commentary.
Torture, man. Absolute torture. Loving it.
They were willing all that on, and oh, what a couple. Oh, we didn't see this coming, all that nonsense. But
real anyway, multi football fans, eh?
Yeah, but it's up to Celtic, I suppose, to deal with that. And then, as I say, two each were kind of rocked. You know, the stadium, you know, all goes a bit flat. Then they get the set piece. And I don't know who's got the head. They've got some men mounting in their team, you know, real big, powerful guys. And they'll live off set pieces. And they've had a huge chance. And it's that big save from Joe Hart. And really, you could say that's ultimately the pivotal moment, because see if Celtic go 3-2 down there, I'm not sure we're getting back in it.
Well, I just said to you towards the end of the game that and it was 2-each, this was after that save. At 2-each, we were pressing. Libby seemed to invite us on at that stage, but we weren't being overly penetrative. And my worry was that, as Libby had done to us a few times in the last 4 or 5 years, they get a set piece in the last minute, you know, 3-4 minutes in injury time, and they take advantage of it. You know, we had the capacity to lose that game at 2-each in injury time, 100%. So if they'd got ahead at 3-2, which was maybe 10 minutes to go, something like that, 81 minutes, I think it was, something along those lines, then, I don't know. Potentially, we could have pulled ourselves out, because we were still attacking all the way through it. But the question is, who's going to drag us out? We're the leaders. You know, kind of looking at Joe Hart, but he's my keeper. Looking at Taylor, he's my left back. Who else is leading that team outside of those kind of players? I don't really see it. It's not O'Reilly. It's not Tomoki. Johnson, maybe, but again, he's a defender. You know, where's my driving players from the midfield forward? Not there.
I tell you who it is. It's super sub James Forrest. You and I have both got our thoughts on James, and we'll maybe get to them in a second, but there's lots of credit for him in the comments here, and thanks, of course, to everyone that's joined in the comments. Andy Boy, Lindsay, Snitch, 420, Kieran, Christoph, you know, a lot of the regulars, and thanks for that. And, you know, feel free to chip in with any comments here. But James, there's loads of love for James Forrest here. And I don't know if that's a sign of regression from Celtic, if that's what it's come to. I rolled my eyes when James Forrest came on. James Forrest hasn't kicked a ball for Celtic in the last 12 games. Ironically, the last time he got any minutes for Celtic was against Livingston on the 23rd of December. He came off the bench after 63 minutes in that one. Since then, he's either not been in the squad at all, and that's been mostly the case for the 12 games, and now and then he's been on the bench, but he's been a sub not used. It's clear that he is not a part of Brendan Rodgers' plans anymore. That's just where it's got to. And that's no harm to James Forrest. Father Time catches up on everyone and all that stuff. But all of a sudden, he's the guy that you're throwing in to ultimately try and win you the game. And actually, I do think, I'll not be blinkered enough to say he didn't do anything. I thought he came in and tried to make things happen and had a bit of an impact and drove at the Livy defence. He's not played a direct part in the goals, I don't think. In fact, did he play into Iwata or Maeda? Maybe. Anyway, I don't think, you know, he's not had an assist, he's not had a goal. But would you concede that he's played his part there today?
He definitely did. You know, and it was, a danger when your kind of best player on the day, Kuhn, is going off, that you just end up with nothing there. You know, you end up with nothing there. I mean, Forrest is playing today. You're saying he hasn't played in 12 games. He's not playing by choice of management. You've got your on form when you're out suspended when you shouldn't have been, and you've got your now coming back to coming to form winger record January signing, biggest January signing out with an injury. So, you know, it's not like Celtic are regressing, but like Forrest is in the first 11. So, nah, I give the recruitment team a pass on that. But he's come on. He's just stayed alert. He's driven at guys. He's not been lazy. He's kept himself very fit, James Forrest, you know, and I've noticed that the last couple of years. So he's able to come on and give us these, you know, 10, 15, 20-minute cameos and be high energy. I think there's still a wee bit of lack of quality sometimes. I've got the ball, but I'm not really going anywhere. But he fed Kyogo a couple of times, could have come off to better stuff. And he was just busy. So he played his part in keeping the ball up in that third. So, yeah, I'm okay with that.
A lot of folks commenting just on his physique, saying he's looking quite lean and fit and sharp. And, you know, and I suppose it's the kind of should be the basic requirement for a professional footballer. But as you see at different times, it's not always the case. So fair play to James Forrest for being, I suppose, being ready when you get the call. He got the call today, yep, and he was ready. Comment that I put up on screen there from Kieran. Let me see if I can find it. Kieran Allen, he says, Father Time says James Forrest wins a double. I hope he's right. I'd love to see James Forrest and, of course, Celtic win the double there. And he's right to point out as well that Forrest actually did have an assist. He's the one that bumped it on for Kyogo for the fourth. So, fair enough. Yeah. James has come in and done his job there. Let's get to that third goal, James. We've covered Tomoki Iwata. He's not had his best day for Celtic. And he's another guy like Stephen Welsh who's found game time hard to come by. He needs to do more. I'm a huge fan. I know you are as well, actually. But he needs to bring more to the party. He had a tough game last week at Tynecastle, and he's not really stepped up in any great way today. He needs to provide more if he's going to be a mainstay once guys like McGregor and Hitati and others, you know, are back around him and back available. But he's played his part here for the goal. I like the intention just to fire it across goal low and hard. You don't need to look up. You don't need to clip it to a back post. You don't need to be too clever. You just need to put it in an area. And Dyes Maeda, to be fair, he is right on the line. It's very, very tight for offside. But he goes to run at the back. And it's a pretty decent goal. It's effectively the match winner, isn't it? And as I say, 86 minutes in, I covered it at the top. I did not have 30 more minutes of that in me, I've got to say. So, if nothing else, I'm thankful that Dyes grabbed the goal just when he did.
And it's good for Tomoki. You know, that's going to do his confidence a world of good. And he needs that because he's been poor, having been good. He looked like he was going to be the guy that's coming in to solve the not just the six problem, but all of our midfield problems. He sits in the six, McGregor sits forward, and O'Reilly sits on the right, and that's a good midfield trio. Obviously, McGregor's out injured, but that shouldn't be affecting Tomoki. He's still got his nice, tidy game of football to play, and he's not been. You know, he's been really sloppy, careless passes, careless in terms of positional discipline. He's been, you know, he's found himself in positions he really shouldn't be when we've lost the ball, and then you know there's no defensive midfield to speak of. So that's something we need to kind of keep an eye on. But the fact that this stage we're driving, we're trying to get that winner, and that, you know, you're fine to be in as an advanced position as he was at that stage. And he's done what a lot of players fail to do. Like you say, just you don't need to think about this too much. Just drill that in the 6-yard box. If the strikers aren't there, that's their fault. That's not your job. Your job is just to get it in there. Get it in there hard and fast. And there you go. Dyson, one touch finish, no bother.
Yeah, there's no hassle at the castle. But
easy for Dyson.
As I say, 100 game for Celtic and he gets a hat-trick. You kind of cannot ask for any more than that, but still some mad stuff elsewhere. But hat-trick's a hat-trick and credit to him. Look, you know, a couple of goals that he scored in recent times, he's not celebrated particularly enthusiastically. You know, he's been a wee bit subdued by the looks of it. But you've seen when he got, I think his first goal today, he's looked up at the crowd, he's clearly had friends or family in the stands, which is great, and he's enjoyed the moment. And he'll get the match ball and he can feel good about himself. And Dyes Maeda, as much as he's got a very strong mentality and he seems to just pick himself up and dust himself off when he makes mistakes, every footballer, you know, everyone needs kind of a boost now and then and to feel good about himself and to feel confident. And there's nothing like a hat trick to do that for a guy. So I'm pleased for him. He's such an honest professional. Yes, he's frustrating, but he's the guy that's effectively won Celtic the game today. And then you get the goal in the 95th minute as Kyogo, as Kieran rightfully pointed out, it's James Forrest that bumps on him. Again, it is really, really tight, isn't it? With the naked eye, you can't really tell. And you just need to trust, James, that the SFA and the VAR team are doing the right things with the lines. And of course they are, because why would they do otherwise? And Kyogo's in on goal, and he showed real composure. You know, we've seen Kyogo miss those ones before. He's not a given. He's a predatory striker. He's really sharp in the box and great at reacting to things and latching on to different ones. But sometimes when he's actually get quite a lot of time, we've seen him fluff his lines. But there was no doubt with this one, was there?
No, and my gut feel was he was onside. You know, Kyogo was pretty good at knowing when to make the run. And that was borne out by the VAR lines. But yeah, he's then got the job to do. He's thought about it, just as he's kind of getting into the 18-yard box, he's thought about, what's my options here? I don't really like that. I want my striker to think, I've got no options, even if I have options. I'm just going to go one-on-one with the goalie and strike it low and hard, pick my side and see where it goes, kind of thing, see how it falls out. Because he's kind of looking at, is Dyson the better option than me here? But Dyson been taken out by the right back. I think accidentally I'm going to give the boy benefit of the doubt in that one, tangle the legs, but Dyson sprawled. But yeah, then he's realised, okay, the only option here is, you know, take it myself. And he just strikes it sweet, picks his spot. It's a lovely goal. And then you are going to the VAR thing, and you're kind of waiting to see. And you'd have been gutted if you hadn't got the goal, because much like Iwata needing that confidence from getting an assist, Kyogo gets such confidence from goals. So he's come off the bench, he's scored the goal. That's his job, you know, as far as trying to play his way in contention. Only in hindsight, with hindsight, do we see that was probably a better game for Kyogo than Ida. Not just because Ida was poor, but there was so much space in behind, all these kind of things. So for Kyogo to then come on and do his bit and just, you know, make it nice and safe and secure, and we can all relax and get up the road and put that game in a box and never talk about it again, he's done his bit.
Yeah, that's the plan after this recording. But you've got a situation, actually. It's ironic, isn't it, that when Kyogo does come on for Ida, whatever minute that was, Livy had started to sit very deep in the space that was there in the first half. And Ida had a couple of, you'd call them reasonable half chances, you know, a couple coming in the air. That Kyogo would thrive off of. Ida's fluffed his lines on those occasions. And then by the time Kyogo comes on, there isn't that room in at the back, you know, that you'd hope for. There's a comment here from Kieran. Another Kieran, we've got a couple of Kierans in the chat, who said, you know, Ida playing his way out of the starting 11. And I wouldn't quite say that. Generally speaking, I've been impressed with him, but you certainly wouldn't be surprised. Well, I suppose I would say that, because you wouldn't be surprised if Kyogo now starts the next game. And I hate when you've got this situation, whereas if Kyogo gets a couple of goals, it's his shot for the next couple of games. And then if Ida comes off the bench and scores, it's his shot the next time. And we're struggling to find this consistency in the number 9. They're both very effective in their own way at different times, but you just want one guy to say, I'm your guy, I'll be your guy from here to the end of the season, you cannot drop me. And at the moment, neither Ida or Kyogo are making themselves undroppable, and you can have a completely separate conversation about O, who just doesn't feature much at all for Celtic. But anyway, we'll not dwell on it, James, and as I said, the intention wasn't to make this a negative recording. You know, there's stuff going on that's not been great to see, but we'll always try and look at the bigger picture in terms of ultimately Celtic had a job to do. It's all about getting through, you know, and being in the next round. And Celtic are, you know, they're back to Hampden for a semi-final. Do you have any preference, James, in terms of who we get? So Aberdeen got through yesterday. Hibs will play Rangers shortly today. Hearts play Morton, I think it is, on Monday. Any preference, anything float your boat?
I'd like to keep Hibs for the final for an all-green Hampden. Hearts after last week, yeah, please.
Yeah, so we'll take Hearts. Hibs can play Aberdeen. And
whoever manages Aberdeen can put out Rangers.
Yeah, that's another nonsense, isn't it? Okay, so listen, thanks, as I say, to the various folks that have commented. It's always appreciated by myself and James. It really helps us do what we do here. But James, I'll come to you for your final thoughts on an interesting game at Celtic Park, and one that ultimately Celtic have come through the other side of.
Yeah, I think it'll be a game that Rodgers will have learned a lot from in terms of the work he needs to do mentally on this squad. Those guys are just, you know, weren't in the right headspace. and it could have cost us, but it didn't. And we're in the hat. So Rodgers knows what he needs to do now. Get a hold of those guys. Get them up to speed. We're only talking about 2 and a bit months of football. So get them right in the right place to go into this running and get us this title. Because it's eminently possible that we can win this league. There's nothing beyond our capacity. And it's very possible we win the double as well. So it could be a really, really good season if the players get their heads right.
Yeah, it's absolutely all there for the taking. But today, I suppose, is all about Dyson Maeda. Congratulations to him on his 100th appearance for Celtic. And Celtic now take their place in the semi-final at Hampden. Thanks to James for joining me here on a Sunday afternoon. Thanks to everyone who's joined us in the live. And of course, thanks to everyone who continues to listen on podcast. We'll be back tomorrow, Monday night, with the Celtic Exchange Weekly. But until then, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Podcast Network.